Thank you. What we're actually going to do today is a little more detail of what we had on our poster yesterday on the stripper header project that we have going on. I need to recognize a couple of my colleagues, Lauren Young, who's doing some research on this project for her master's degree, and then Bill Pan, who is a soil scientist that is a co-PI. Before we get into the stripper header and the effects it has on climate, microclimates, and the establishment of winter canola, I want to go back in time like Perry did and give you a little bit of background beginning in 2010 when I was gave a presentation to this group on introducing winter canola to the wheat fallow region of north central Washington. At that time, winter canola was a very high risk crop. Our plant establishment was the big problem. We're trying to reach soil moisture that's down 4 to 6 inches in a dust mulch summer fallow situation. When the young seedlings pop through the ground trying to reach the soil surface, our soil temperatures can reach 130, 140 degrees, and it literally just fries them off. So we set about to do a study looking at methodology and seeding rate and date for about 5 years for this area in our low rainfall zone, which is less than 30 centimeters per year. And basically what we found after 5 years of studies is that probably our best opportunity to get a stand is August 1st to August 31st. If we plant before then, it's highly likely we're going to run out of water before winter, so we have to be careful with that. And then after that date, we're going to start losing our yield, which we can achieve our optimum yield if we plant in August. We were able to, with our studies, improve, take a little bit of risk out of planting, and improved our plant establishment. With our rate studies, we found that anywhere from 3.5 to 5.5 kilograms per hectare of seed was probably our best. We could go lower with that if conditions were really good. We use a little bit higher rate when we've got questionable conditions. We also found there's a couple caveats that went along with when and how we plant. The first one being that we would like a post-plant temperature of 7 to 10 days of about 29 degrees centigrade so that we don't have that 120 degree soil temperature. That kind of, it happens once in a while. You always look for forecast. Is it going to be cool? We all know how weather forecast can give us true data. Basically, we're at the mercy of Mother Nature with this system that we have going. Mother Nature is going to tell us when we plant and how we plant. So we set about to look at a study using this stripper header. It's conducted at Ralston, Washington, in a 30-centimeter annual rainfall zone. We get 70% of our rain in November through March. It's a Mediterranean climate. Typical winter wheat summer fallow, it's been going on for about 120, 125 years. And this site is one of the longest-running multidisciplinary no-till projects in the Pacific Northwest. Our cooperator has given us 10 hectares a year for 20 years to conduct several phases of research that we have going on. This last summer, we had a tremendous wind erosion event. This occurred in central Washington, east central Washington. It was really hard driving through this. A lot of this had to do with our wheat fallow area that we have going on. So it is a major problem yet in our low to intermediate rainfall zone, and there's several of us still trying to figure out how we can eliminate that from happening in our years. Justification then for our stripper header work. About 20 years ago, we started a long-term no-till spring cropping system to get rid of the summer fallow. Several other researchers started several similar studies a year or two later. And basically, we found that we learned an awful lot environmentally and agronomically, but very few of the, if any, of the cropping systems we looked at were economically viable for the growers. So we've got some concurrent studies going on. Dr. Schillinger is looking at using the undercutter in a modified deep furrow drill to drill through heavy residue that the undercutter leaves on the soil surface. I believe Bill is working right now with wheat more than canola. This system leaves a little bit more than 30% residue on the soil surface, which meets conservation compliance. We are taking a different approach, and we want to produce and leave as much standing stubble as we can, so we're looking at the stripper header in our summer fallow situations at Ralston. For those of you that are unfamiliar with the stripper header, it's underneath the hood. We have a big drum with several rows of metal or plastic fingers that basically separates the grain from the plant, leaving just the entire plant and the rakes left in the field. The only thing coming out the back end of the combine is chaff that surrounds the kernel. We have two hypotheses on this study. One is that the stripper header stubble will decrease wind speed and soil temperature while increasing soil moisture compared to our standard fallow reduced tillage system. Our winter canola, the second hypothesis is that winter canola can be established in stripper header standing stubble more uniformly and effectively than in our traditional fallow. We have four treatments. We have we've thrown semi-dwarf cereals out the window. We're planting the tallest winter wheat that we can find, and then we're planting tall fall winter triticale. We're harvesting both with a conventional header and with the stripper header, and then the conventional header wheat, we have the reduced tillage fallow, which is standard in the area. And then we have the chem fallows going on in the other three systems. This is just a very briefly want to show you the yield that we've gotten in 2012, 2013. Basically, no difference with our header type in yield with winter wheat or with triticale in 2012. Same thing with 2013. We have a little aberration here. I don't know why yet, but the conventional header, we got a higher yield in our winter wheat than we did using the stripper header. Let's look at hypothesis number one, reduced wind speeds. The we have our wind speed on this axis, and this is a 9-day 9 days that occurred in July. We measured wind speed 16 centimeters above the soil surface. The green values are 16 centimeters, the wind speed 16 centimeters above the soil surface in the tilled chem fallow. And the yellow line is the wind speed during this 9-day segment in the tall triticale, 16 centimeters above the soil surface. On average, we reduced wind speed four times in the standing stubble, stripper header stubble, compared to the fallow stubble. Looking at gravimetric water, this slide is in English units. I didn't want the U.S. citizens here to be felt left out by using metric units all the time. So we have 0 to 3 inches and 3 to 6 inches. The gray line is the soil moisture in the standing stripper header. And in contrast, the blue line is the soil moisture at the two depths in the tillage fallow. We have a little bit more this year. Mother Nature kind of disagreed with what we were doing, and we have it was 3.6 centimeters or about 1.2 inches of rain from May 1st until October 15th. So we can see that we got a little bit more moisture in the stripper header plot. Okay, let's look at hypothesis number two. Can we establish winter canola in this heavy residue situation? This was this year after we went through and planted in the tall stripper header triticale. Rows are 16 inches apart. This is planting in 2013. To the, this side of the plot, we've already planted, and this side we are planting. Very difficult to tell where we've even planted with such heavy residue. Did we get good establishment? This is in 2013, the fall of 2013. We planted August 28th. July 28th. In 2013. It popped through the high residue really good. We've got a coulter in front of our opener that slices the residue pretty good. This is our establishment in the fall. We had about 30%, 40% establishment in the tilled winter, tilled fallow, basically due to ununiform soil moisture situations. And we had about a 95% establishment in the stripper header stubble. Some of us are old enough to remember that butter, margarine commercial where it says, don't play, don't mess, don't fool with Mother Nature. Well, she did it again to us. We had a tremendous winter kill in 2014. We had four different varieties. We had two different stripper header stubble. And then we had summer fallow and we had chem fallow, and everything died no matter what we did or the growers in the area did. So it wasn't size, it wasn't stubble, it wasn't variety. We went about seven below after the harvest or after the plants broke dormancy. This is 2014 that we planted August 28th. As I mentioned, we got 1.2 inches of rain in 5.5 months. This is our stand establishment in the tilled winter wheat fallow. Basically 0% in all four reps, each plot being a third of an acre. We have about a 35% stand as of late September in the stripper header. So we've got a little bit more, but boy, it's been dry. Well, we've seen the advantages of the stripper header. There's also some disadvantages of the stripper header. I guess I'm done.
Click on project computer. Shit comes back.
Well, anyway, one of the disadvantages is that John Deere and Case IH are going to be really disappointed, because with the stripper header, we can harvest up to 1,000 bushels an hour at 7 to 9 miles per hour. And a lot of growers that have adopted this have gotten rid of two or three combine and are just harvesting with one or two. On the downside, also, you can get rid of a combine, but you got to have more semis to keep up with the capacity of the combine with the stripper header.
We're out of time.
Oh, okay.
We do have time for a couple questions real quick.
I do want to say that over time, we have noticed a great reduction in weeds in the stripper header plots compared to the other ones. So,
question,
Jim.
Yeah.
So could you describe what sort of openers you're using to get through that much header?
They're an Ag Pro opener, kind of a modified hole opener. It leaves a band about an inch wide, but we have that coulter out in front that really cuts things and lets us go through it quite nicely. Jack?
Can you harvest canola with that strip of header?
I've been told I'm not going to do it with mine. I have a very old stripper header with plastic fingers. I've been told that you can harvest in the low rainfall area. You can harvest spring canola where it doesn't get as tall and bushy with it. We have harvested mustard with it, but I have not taken it through a 2,000 pound per acre winter canola crop.
We have seen that stripper header used in the Red River Valley of Oklahoma, between Texas and Oklahoma, harvest 1,500 pound per acre canola with the stripper header standing.